1 John chapter 5. We've been in a series since January, actually, entitled Losing My Religion, because that's what a lot of folks need to do. They need to lose their religion and start a relationship with God. So we're going to finish this book of 1 John this morning. And I want to talk to you about things that you can be certain of. Things that you can be certain of. 1 John 5, beginning in verse 13. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that does lead to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. One who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for what we've experienced in worship to this point. We have been ushered into your presence today through singing, and for that we're grateful. But I pray now as we turn our attention to the written word, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our guide, and that you would reveal yourself to us and reveal these truths to us that we can be certain of here today. And we thank you for that in advance, for it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Famous preacher and founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, once said, "When I was young, I was sure of everything." Anybody ever been there? "But after a few years, having been mistaken 1,000 times, I was not half so sure of most things as I was before." And this is what he said, "And at present, I'm hardly sure of anything except what God has revealed to me." I think most of us can sympathize with John Wesley at that point, because we just live in a world that is filled with uncertainty and unclear messages. But of course, the undisputed champion of muddled messages was Yogi Berra. Not Yogi and Boo Boo, but Yogi Berra, the catcher for the Yankees. He was a Hall of Famer. He was a former manager of the Yankees. He had a lot of what's come to be known as Yogiisms. And you have to pay close attention to what he says. Here's the first one. Baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
Somebody can get that
later. It'll come. You got to be careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might not get there. You should always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't come to yours. I don't know. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. Now, sometimes the things people say can be confusing. Sometimes we're confused about the important things of life because we do not turn to the one who does have the answers and the one that we're looking for and the answers that we're looking for. Now, this passage that closes out this great letter should help clear up any confusion that you might be having today about whether or not a person can know for sure that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that leads them to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are saved. So he assures us in these closing verses that there are some things that we can know for certain, that we don't have to worry about, we don't have to guess about, we don't have to be in doubt about. And these are the truths that cannot be denied and they will never change, things of which we can be certain. So I'm going to list four of them for you real quick this morning. First of all, we can be certain of our promise that God has given us. Our promise. John begins by saying, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I've written these things so that you can know for a fact, so you can know for certain that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. As we talked about last Sunday, I'm so thankful we don't have a hope-so salvation. I'm thankful we have a no-so salvation, that we can know for certain that we're saved. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, we can know that we do have the promise of eternal life. God has gone on record in His Word as offering eternal life to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. This is His promise, and we can count on God's promises. But listen to just a few of the verses in the Bible that assure us of eternal life. John chapter 3 and verse 36. John 3:36 says, He who believes in the Son has eternal life. Now let me clear something up for you real quick. When he says he who believes, he's not talking about mentally. He's not talking about educationally. He's not talking about whether or not a person believes that there was a Jesus and that he lived on the face of the earth and that he died. And I'm not talking about that kind of belief. I'm talking about a belief that changes your life. I'm talking about a belief that is so radical that you will never be the same again once you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. John 5:24 says, Truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. John chapter 6 and verse 40, For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise Him up on the last day. Our hope is not in this world. It's in the world to come. It's in what we have to look forward to when we leave this earth. And that's what He says, I myself will raise Him up on the last day. There's coming a day when the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then all of us who are left and who remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to forever be with the Lord. And God says, comfort yourself with these words. So He promises that once we come to Him, we belong to Him, and even though we may die, there's coming a day when He Himself will raise us up on the last day. John chapter 6, verse 47, Truly I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation is not something you can work for. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you can earn. It's a free gift from God. It's something that He wants to give you because He loves you and He loves me and He's been loving us before we really were. He put a plan of salvation into place before this world ever existed. Jesus was the Lamb that was slain from before the beginning of the world, so that when that time came, that we could be saved, not by any good works that we've done, but by everything that He has done. It is a gift from God. But you know that if you get a gift, in order for it to be yours, you have to do what? You have to receive it. You have to receive it yourself. You have to reach out and take that gift. So God is offering every person in this room this morning a free gift. Now, it was costly to Him. Doesn't cost you a thing. It's a free gift from God, and it is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So I want to tell you this morning, Christians need not worry nor be confused about their salvation. No need to be confused about this issue. If you are in Christ, if you are a child of God, then you can say with confidence that you know, that you know, that you know that you have eternal life. When Sir James Simpson, the man who discovered chloroform, was on his deathbed, a friend asked him, "Sir, what are your speculations?" His reply was, "Speculations? I have no speculations. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." You don't have to speculate about your salvation. If you're saved, you know it. If you're saved, you're going to live like it. Now, in times of confusion, and in times of loss, and in times of desperation, the first truth of which we can be certain is God's promise of eternal life. And John goes on to tell us that not only can we find comfort and consolation in the promise of eternal life, but also in our prayers, in our prayer life. That's so very important as well. 1 John 5 and verse 15 says, "We know that God listens to our request, so we know that we already have what we ask Him for." Now we need to look at that a little bit, because that may sound like something it's not. Okay? We know that God listens to our request. How many of you know that God listens to you when you pray? And so we know, because of that, we know that we already have what we ask Him for. Now, it's one thing to know that you have eternal life in heaven through Jesus Christ. But what about the needs and what about the problems of daily life? What happens in between the time we accept Jesus and the time we go home to heaven? What happens in between? Well, that's where prayer comes in. Because the second truth of which we can be sure is that God hears and that God answers our prayers. Now, in my experience, I don't know about you, but I don't always get what I ask for. Anybody in here ever get everything you ask for? Probably not. If you do, I want to talk to you. But as far as I can tell, there are four different answers that God will give concerning our prayers. Sometimes God's answer is very direct, and whatever I ask Him for, that's what I get. Very direct, very straightforward. I pray, He answers, I get it. But sometimes God's answers are delayed. They're delayed. Sometimes you pray for something and it does not happen right away. It's delayed. Maybe you start to wonder if God was really listening after all, but then later on down the road you get your answer. But God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. It's just hang on a second. It's just wait a little while. The timing is not right. This is not really what you need at this moment in your life. So there can be a delay. And at other times, God's answers are different. You ask God for one thing and He gives you something else. It may have to do with a career. It may have to do with a move. It may have to do with a relationship. And sometimes we're taken by surprise when we get something completely different than we asked for. But you know what I know about God? I know that God knows everything about me. And that what I ask for, if it's the wrong thing, He's not going to grant it to me. But He will bless me with what He knows is going to be a blessing. And so that's what we need sometimes. We can pray and we think we're right and we think we're asking the right thing. But God says, no, you really don't even have a clue what you're talking about. You don't have a clue what you're asking me for. Here's what you need. Here's how I'm going to answer your prayer. And then sometimes, on occasion, our requests are denied altogether. Sometimes you ask God for something and God's answer is no. Did you know that no is an answer from God? It's as much an answer from God as yes is. But we don't like no's. But we love yeses. But not no's. But no is as much an answer as yes is. The Apostle Paul asked three times to have his, quote, thorn in the flesh removed. You know what God's answer was? No. No. Sometimes God just says no. So how can John say we know that God hears us and that He gives us our request? He gives us what we ask Him for. Well, John had kind of a formula for prayer that moves the hand of God, I guess you could say. But he was very specific. He said, only if we ask anything according to His will, then we have the request which we have asked of Him. It is very, very important to pray in line with the will of God. Matter of fact, that's the only way you're going to get your prayers answered. That's the only prayer that God really answers. Pray in line with His will, and you can pray with confidence. You know why Jesus always got His prayers answered? He always desired the will of God. He always prayed according to the will of God. Prayer is not about getting my will done in heaven. It's about getting God's will done on earth. And He always says yes when our prayer lines up with His will. He always says yes. Now, prayer is to be effective, we have to determine what God's will is. Now, that's a tough thing sometimes, because I've known a lot of people who seem to be kind of hanging back in their relationship with God, and they're not really on the front line, and you talk to them and you say, well, okay, what's going on? Why are you not, you know, where you even you know you're supposed to be? Why are you not there? And they say, well, I'm waiting for God to reveal His will to me. I'm waiting for God to reveal His will to me. And then, or they'll say, I'm waiting for God to reveal His will for my life. Let me tell you something. If you're hiding behind, God hasn't revealed His will for my life to me yet, and you're 60 or 70 years old, or you're 18 years old, or you're 15 years old, and you're hiding behind that, it is not God's will for your life. That's the wrong thing. It's what is God's will. And then, where do I fit in to the fulfillment of God's will? Because you say, well, how do I find the will of God? Read this book. Amen. Read this book. It's full of the will of God. It's full of what God wants us to be doing. Now, if God has commanded a certain attitude or action, if He's told us exactly what to do in black and white and red, be confident that it's how God wants you to live. So what you got to do is you got to turn the commands of God in His Word into request. Make the prayers found in God's Word your own. Pray God's promises back to Him. The best way to pray at times is just to pray Scripture. Amen. Just and you're not reminded, hey God, in case you forgot, this is what you said. No, that's not it. When we pray the promises of God back to Him, it's for our benefit, not His. Because when we pray His Word back to Him, we know with confidence and certainty that our prayer is in the center of the will of God, and thus God has promised that He would answer that prayer. So, if you want to pray in God's will, you've got to know what He said. And He promises, you pray the promise back to Him, and by using Scripture as the basis for your prayer life, you'll be sure to pray in a way that honors God. So, you can be certain of God's promise concerning salvation. If you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, He says, I'm going to give you a gift, and that gift is eternal life, and that eternal life comes only through the acceptance of my Son as your Savior. And He said, once you do that, then in the meantime, while you're waiting to go to heaven and be with me and be with those who have gone on before, you're going to need some help along the way, and I've taken care of that too, and that's in your prayer life. And so whatever you ask in prayer, if we ask anything according to God's will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have what we ask of Him. And then he goes on to say in 1 John 5:18, we're talking about our protection. Our protection. Saved and sure, praying unto the Father, praying in accordance to His will, receiving answers to our prayers that bring honor and glory to God. But also in the meantime, let me tell you something. When you get serious about praying the will of God, and wanting the will of God to be manifested in your life, you know what you need next? You need protection. You need spiritual protection that comes from God. We know that those who have been born from God don't go on sinning. Rather, the Son of God protects them, and the evil one can't harm them. Now, you didn't hear that, did you? The evil one can't harm you. Now, in order to understand this verse, it's important to know what kind of sin that John's talking about here. Because in the previous verses, 16 and 17, he says, if anyone sees a brother or sister sinning, a sin that does not lead to eternal death, that person should pray, and God will give the sinner life. I'm not talking about people whose sin does not lead to eternal death. Doing wrong is always sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to eternal death. What is a sin that leads to eternal death? Unbelief in God. Unbelief in His Son as Lord and Savior. The one who died on the cross. That is a sin from which you can get no forgiveness unless you ask God and believe that Jesus is who He really says that He is, because that is a sin that leads to eternal death, and eternal death is separation from God forever. But now he says to us here that all Christians, even after they're saved, if anyone sees a brother or sister sinning, but they're sinning a sin that does not lead to eternal death, in other words, they are a believer, but they're not living their life as they should. If anyone sees a person like that, that person should pray. If you see a brother or sister in Christ who's not living a godly life, you ought to pray for them. You ought to pray for them, and God will give the sinner life. Talking about people who sin does not lead to eternal death. Doing wrong is always sin, John says. Anything that you and I do that displeases God's a sin. So, is there anybody here who after they were saved has sinned? The rest of you need to repent of lying. Altar's open. We fall short, like everybody else does, when it comes to sin. But we have something that the rest of the world doesn't have, and that is we have Jesus. And Jesus protects us from Satan and from ourselves, keeping us from the dark path that leads to eternal death. Now, that doesn't mean that a Christian will never sin. It doesn't mean that a Christian will never be tempted to sin. Because Satan, according to 1 Peter 5:8, Satan is constantly lurking around the corner looking for somebody to devour. He's looking for that Christian to drop their guard. He's looking for that believer to have a quote-unquote spiritual off day. And he's waiting to devour. He's waiting to destroy your testimony. He's waiting to destroy your commitment to the Lord and what other people think about you. He's waiting to destroy all of that. And he has so many devices for leading a believer into sin. Satan tells lies. Did you know that? He did that to Eve. And when people believe the lies, they turn away from God and they disobey God's truth. Or he may even inflict physical suffering on people as he did with Job and Paul. In David's case, Satan used pride in his weapon as his weapon and urged David to take a census in defiance of God, to do something that God told him not to do. Satan is like a serpent that deceives, and he's like a lion that devours. He is a formidable foe, to say the least. But here's the great news. Satan is no match for Jesus. He is no match for Jesus. The Son of God has your back. And that's a great thing to know. Let me tell you one other thing. It's about our position. Verse 19. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. But the certainty is we know that we are children of God. You ever pondered the significance of being a child of God? I mean, you hold a precious position. You hold a priceless place in God's eternal family. And that's an incredible thing. It's incredible that God wants a family. It's an incredible thing that He's invited you to be a part of it. He's invited me to be a part of it, to be a part of His family. The entire Bible is a story of God building a family who will love Him, who will honor Him, who will reign with Him forever. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:5, because of His love, God had already decided to make us His own children through Jesus Christ. That was what He wanted, and that was what pleased Him. When we place our faith in Jesus, God becomes our Father. We become His children. Other believers become our brothers and sisters. And the church becomes our spiritual family. Christians aren't just called to believe, they're called to belong. They're called to be a part of something that's much bigger than themselves. Every human being was created by God, but not every human being is a child of God. That's a special position held only by believers who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus for their salvation. So, we can be certain of the promise that God has given us that we are saved, that we have eternal life because we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We can be certain that if we pray, if our prayer life is in line with God's will, then we're going to see those prayers answered. We can be certain that He has our back, that He is protecting us along this journey called life, that He is always there with us. And we can be certain of our position, that we are a child of God. Now, if I know that I'm saved, and I know that I can talk to God and He can answer my prayers, if my prayer, the answer to it will bring honor and glory to Him, and I know that He's watching over me and He's protecting me from the one who is seeking to devour me on a daily basis, and I know for certain that I'm in His family and one day I'm going to go and live with Him, then I don't know about you, but that gives me a lot of peace and that gives me a lot of hope. It's very interesting. I'm going to close with this. Very interesting how he closes this letter. It's all of a sudden like this verse 21 is kind of disconnected from everything else he said. Because look at how he closes. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. This is John's way of saying keep yourself from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Keep yourself away from idols. So there are things in the midst of a world filled with uncertainty that you can be certain about. You can be certain about His promises. You can be certain about His prayers, His protection, and the position that you have in Him. To me, that's good enough. Amen. That's good enough. Now, let me ask you something. Have you experienced His promise of salvation? Have you asked Him to save you? Do you know for certain that if you were to die right now, that you're just as sure for heaven as if you're already there? When you pray, do you pray according to the will of God? Do you pray things that you say, God, I want this because I believe this is Your will and I believe this will bring honor and glory to You. Is that what your prayer life is like? Do you pray knowing every day that when you get up and you put on the full armor of God, that God has you covered? That God's going to protect you every step of the way as long as you're walking in His will? And then do you know about your position, that you're part of the family of God? You can be certain. The reason I know you can be certain, John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know without a doubt that you have eternal life. Pray with me. Father, we come to You this morning just grateful for the opportunity to worship You and to give You praise that's due Your name. I thank You for this wonderful journey through 1 John and the many lessons that You have taught us. I thank You for the promises that You have revealed to us today, the certainties about our relationship with You. And I just ask You today, God, that if there's anyone here who's never truly accepted You as their personal Lord and Savior, that today might be that day. They come to the realization, the understanding that they need Christ in their life. And for those of us who are here today who are saved, but yet our prayer life may not be what it ought to be like, we're not experiencing the protection from You that we should be because we're straying outside Your will and we're on our own and we're going to be devoured one day if we're not careful. And we thank You for our position as being a member of the family of God. That we're heirs, we're joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that You have belongs to us as well. So I pray for those who are unsaved that today might be the day that they realize that all wrongdoing is sin, but yet You're willing to forgive them of their sin. You're willing to forgive them and come into their life and take control of their life if they'll just allow You to do that. There may be others who are looking for a church home, already saved. I pray that they might come. So Lord, just have Your way and may Your will be done in this place this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. You come meet us here on the front. Amen. Thank you so much for coming and being with us today. I hope the Lord has blessed you during this time of worship today. Let me say to you, if you're a guest, thanks for coming. And we have a welcome center in the foyer there, the room on the right. There'll be somebody there to greet you and to give you a package of information about the church. And so we'd love for you to stop by just for a moment and visit with us on your way out. Remember, deacons, we have deacons meeting this afternoon at 4, and then our Children's Missions Organization recognition service is tonight at 6, so you'll want to be here for that, because our children, their leaders, worked hard all year on many projects and many studies and done a lot of things, so you'll hear all about that tonight. So I want to encourage you to come and be with us for that. All right, it's great to see you today. Brother Newell is going to come and lead us in our closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, I pause to thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us this day. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your care, and thank you for allowing us to come to this house to worship you. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, we just pray that you will have a change of heart and do so. For I ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.